All right, let us begin with some announcements. So, first announcement was we are celebrating communion today. Yay. The second announcement is we are more than likely going to be worshiping online next Sunday. Session at Glenshaw is meeting on Wednesday. So deacons are meeting today after worship. The session is meeting on Wednesday night, and I'm going to check in with the choir on Thursday. So just want to give you a heads up that we're probably still going to be worshiping online on Sunday. As of right now, Allegheny County is not set to lift their stay-at-home order on May 8th. I don't know when the stay-at-home order is going to be lifted, but we should plan that we're going to continue to have online worship at least as long as the stay-at-home order is in place. This week, Session and I are going to be meeting and talking and discerning and praying what it would look like to safely conduct in-person worship. That doesn't mean we're going to do it anytime soon, because we can't right now under a stay-at-home order. But I would really appreciate your prayers. There is no kind of guidebook for what this looks like, and I'm getting conflicting information. prayers for wisdom for us would be great. The final thing to say is that if you know somebody who is not able to access online worship, whether they're a family member or whether they're a friend, feel free to share our worship videos with them. It's not just for members of our two churches. I recorded them and I have designed them in a way that they should be able to be shared with anyone. I don't want anyone to not have an opportunity to worship during this time of being at home. And so feel free to share our resources with whoever would find them useful. All right, those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? All right, let us transition to the sharing of our joys and concerns. I will share what I have. And then I will invite you all, if you have a prayer request, to unmute yourself and say your prayer request out loud, and I will write them down. So the first prayer request is to begin praying for folks who are heading back to work this week. A few more businesses are opening up, even with the stay-at-home order, and some places it is no longer practical to work from home. So please pray for people that are heading back to work. Also pray for employers who are trying to keep their employees safe. We will continue to pray for healthcare professionals and essential workers, and we will continue to pray for those who have the virus, those who are recovering from it, and those who are worried of what will happen if they get it. All right, what else can we be praying for today?
I need prayers for my uncle Stash. His actually name is Stanley. He's my godfather. He had a couple of spots of cancer on his face, which they have removed. But I was just informed like 2 days ago that he has 3 more spots on his face that need to be removed. So prayers for him for recovery and pain relief and keep up his hope and joy in life.
Any other prayer requests? All right. Thank you for sharing them. We will lift these prayer requests up a little bit later in the service. At this time, I invite you to join with us for our call to worship. Oh, come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For the Lord is our God. We are the Lord's people, the flock that God shepherds. All right, at this time, I am going to mute myself, and I'm going to invite Mickey to unmute herself as she leads us in our opening hymn. We are going to sing, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship.
Thank you.
Friends, I invite you to join with me in our prayer of confession. Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and hungry, and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak and abuse the earth you made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us trust your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joys of life abundant, given in Jesus Christ, the risen Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I declare that you are forgiven. Amen. Join with me now as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, it is now time for our choir's anthem.
Still.
moment, I'm going to invite Mark to unmute himself to play our offertory. Our offertory reflection questions for today come from our scripture reading. And our scripture reading is talking about suffering in terms of building character as Christians. So my two reflection questions for you this morning are, how are you suffering for doing good? And then the second question is, how might suffering be used for good? So I invite you to reflect on these questions as Mark plays. Go ahead, Mark. Yes. Sandy, are you able to do the scripture reading?
The scripture reading today is Peter 2, 19 to 25. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong or endure it. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his footsteps. His commitment, no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he hurled their insults at, when they hurled their insult at him, he did not relate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. God bless the reading.
Thank you, Sandy. Friends, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is part of a letter written to various churches in Asia. We don't know for 100% certainty who wrote it, but it was likely written in Babylon by one of Jesus's disciples, Simon, who was later called Peter. At the time that this letter was written, Rome was persecuting these churches for practicing their faith. So Peter wrote this letter because he wanted these churches to persevere in the midst of persecution. This morning, we read from the part of the letters that scholars call household codes. These codes include instructions on how Christians are to run their households. Women and slaves are to submit to the authority of the patriarch of the family. The point of these codes is not to say that women and slaves are inferior in some way, shape, or form, but to kind of illustrate how conflict can arise in household settings. And sometimes this conflict can lead to suffering. What Peter is trying to say here is that suffering is the inevitable result of practicing one's faith in a world that is hostile to it. But the good news of this letter is that suffering can bring clarity to the church's mission in the world, that is, to bear witness to God's mercy in the world. As Christians living in this non-Christian world, the churches of Asia should expect that they will suffer, even if they did nothing wrong. As Christians, our highest loyalty is to God, not to the world we live in. This means that we will sometimes have to make decisions that go against what our culture is doing. And when we do, we should expect to suffer. Peter urges us to continue to do what is right, even if it brings suffering, because we follow in the footsteps of our suffering servant, Jesus. What Jesus's suffering allows us to do is that it liberated us to love our enemies. This is what Peter means when he says, "By Jesus's wounds, you have been healed." We talk a lot about the good news of Easter, in that it is Jesus suffered so that we can have the gift of eternal life. But that's not all that Easter accomplished. By Jesus' suffering and freeing us from this sin, it is now possible for us to love our enemies. What Peter is saying here is that for Christians, the work of Easter is to figure out how to love our enemies in the midst of persecution. It was really interesting this week. Several of the commentaries that I read in preparation for this sermon argued that we as 21st century Americans can't possibly understand what it means to suffer persecution as Jesus did, or as the churches in Asia living under Roman rule did. Our lives are just too comfortable. We feel too much in control of our futures to trust in God. Advances in things like science and technology are allowing us to live longer with less pain. Then the coronavirus pandemic happened. I know I've said this before, but I will say it again. Everyone's life is hard right now, even if you aren't sick, even if you aren't unemployed, even if you aren't lonely or bored or anxious. Everything fun has been canceled or postponed until further notice. And we really don't know when it will be safe to open things back up. We do know that the next year or so of our lives is going to look very different than we planned. Next Saturday, my sister is graduating from Penn State University. It has taken her 10 years to earn her bachelor's degree. I'm so incredibly proud of her. She completed most of this degree while she was working full time. And if I'm being honest, I'm also delighted that I won't have to help her revise or edit any more case studies. The plan was that my family and I were going to drive to State College. And we were going to watch her and about 14,000 other graduates receive their diplomas. Then the coronavirus pandemic happened. In early April, Penn State emailed the class of 2020 and told them that they were postponing in-person graduation ceremonies. Right now, there's just no safe way for 30,000 people to gather. So now, on her graduation day, my mom, Em, her husband Brian, and I are going to gather in their living room to watch a virtual commencement ceremony. We'll order takeout from a local restaurant for dinner. We'll raise a glass to our senior and all of her accomplishments. We'll hope and we'll pray that we can have a graduation party for her later in the summer. This is just one of the many examples of how we're all suffering under this pandemic. I've thought about this a lot in the last couple weeks, and I think for many of us, this pandemic is our first experience of collective suffering, or our first time of suffering for doing good and enduring it. None of us caused this virus. Yet all of our lives have been negatively affected by us, by it. By staying home, by wearing masks at the grocery store, all of us have done what we needed to do to slow the spread of this virus. Our hospitals aren't overwhelmed, and one day soon we will be able to slowly open things back up. But all of these mitigation efforts comes at the cost of an economy that is in shambles, rise in mental health crises as a result of social isolation, and difficulty imagining what a new normal will look like. Friends, I understand why people are protesting these stay-at-home orders. But Peter offers different guidance as to how Christians are to behave in the midst of unjust suffering. Peter reminds us, by his wounds, you have been healed. Through Jesus' suffering, Jesus healed humanity of its sin. Right now, by staying home, we are being asked to do the hard thing out of love for the most vulnerable in our communities. We are being given a unique opportunity to live out our faith in public during a critical moment in our history. We know we can do this hard thing by looking to Jesus, the pioneer and protector of our faith. Friends, as we enter into a seventh or eighth week, depending on how you count it, of a stay-at-home order, I invite you to reflect on how you are suffering for doing good. How might your suffering be used for good? I know for me, this period of staying at home has forced me to become more disciplined, more creative, and yes, even more technologically savvy. I'm learning the difference between things I need and the things that I just want. I'm sure I will need to draw upon these new skills in whatever our new normal becomes. And I believe that you will too. Friends, my encouragement for us this week is to continue to hang in there. None of us yet knows exactly when the stay-at-home order for Allegheny County will be lifted. We're not exactly sure how we're going to make the transition to a new normal or what that new normal is going to look like. We're not yet sure how we're going to adapt when this new normal comes. But I take great comfort in Peter's letter, reminding me that I'm not the first Christian suffering for trying to do good. and I surely won't be the last. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, we are going to transition to our communion hymn to help us prepare for communion. So I'm going to invite Mickey to unmute herself, and I'm going to mute myself. We will sing, Feed Us, Lord. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever say to the glory of your name, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer ourselves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Let us pray. In union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you will fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in the world. Now, Father, we lift to you our concerns. We pray for our world. Lord, as this pandemic ravishes the most vulnerable among us, we pray particularly for the nations that do not have the resources that we do. Places in Africa, in Latin America, in Central America in particular. We pray that the virus would not spread quickly and that those who have it would be able to receive medical care. Lord, we pray for our leaders. Lord, it is not an easy time to lead your people in anything. This week in particular, Lord, we pray for employers who are struggling to figure out how to reopen amidst confusing and sometimes contradictory guidelines. Lord, we continue to pray for those who govern us. Particularly, Lord, we pray for our governor and our Secretary of Health as they make decisions that impact the life of every Pennsylvanian. Lord, we continue to pray for our essential workers. We pray for our healthcare professionals as they begin performing elective surgeries. We pray as the list of essential workers continues to grow, that these workers would have access to masks and gloves and hand sanitizer. Lord, we continue to pray for the sick and the suffering. This week, Lord, we lift up to you Kathy's Uncle Stanley. We pray that he would be able to recover from his cancer. Finally, Lord, we lift our joys to you with gratitude. Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise for the class of 2020. These are remarkable young men and women who are graduating into an unknown situation. We pray that you would give them strength and fortitude and creativity. Lord, we need these men and women in whatever this new normal will be. Finally, Lord, we lift our personal prayers to you. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honors are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. As our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the sign of the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. The gifts of God for the people of God. The body of Christ. blood of Christ. Friends, let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time, I invite you to join with me in our closing hymn. We're going to sing, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian. Friends, let me say a word of blessing as we head off into the rest of this day. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen. I think we have lost Mark. Oh well, pretend that this is the postalude and have a great and blessed day. We are going to keep the meeting running for a bit if people would like to have some fellowship with one another. And I'm hoping that by 11:15, we can start the deacons meeting. So if anyone needs, who is on the deacon board, now would be a great time to go to the bathroom, get more coffee, all of those things. And we will see you all back next week. Have a great day, everyone.